Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been hungry? I mean, really hungry. I mean, it's not like a 14-year-old boy who 12 minutes after eating says, I'm hungry. All right? You know, that's a different kind of thing. Have you ever been hungry and exhausted, tired? Have you ever been frustrated and worried about having enough people to accomplish what has to happen? This is what Jesus was like in this morning's gospel. Here we come just after his baptism, after God has claimed and named him as beloved son, after the Holy Spirit has descended in bodily form as a dove, after the heavens have been torn open and voices cry out, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness as he makes his way back to Nazareth. It says here that for 40 days, Jesus was in the wilderness. Now, the trip from Jerusalem back up to Nazareth could have taken a lot less time. But the terrain was rough where he was walking, and Jesus was also wrestling with temptation. In the story, Luke says for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing and was famished. Now, first of all, I'm really glad that this isn't what we're all supposed to do once we're baptized. All right? That's a great thing. But the 40 days that Jesus spent tempted in the wilderness are the template for our 40 days in Lent. As Jesus walked the wilderness road struggling with temptation, we too walk our Lenten road in confession and contemplation, struggling with our own weakness, our own sin, and with temptation as well. So in today's gospel story, we hear that setting, Jesus, wilderness, 40 days, famished. We see what Jesus has been doing, but in today's gospel story, we're at the end of that 40 days, and the devil comes back with his final attempt to derail Jesus' ministry, his final try to tempt Jesus away from living his life as God's chosen one. To move Jesus away from living his life as our Lord and our friend. Now, in this moment, Jesus is weak and hungry and tired from the walking and the struggling and the wrestling with the temptations. As Jesus has been pondering in these 40 days, the route ahead of him, he knows deeply the world's need for guidance and direction. He knows of the world's need for an end to conflict and an entry of peace. He also knows his need for support and for more and more people to join in his cause and to follow his life sharing God's love. But you see, the devil knew all of these things as well, and this is where the devil hits Jesus, right in the expectations. You see, to me, the temptations Jesus faced have to be real. I joke about the fact that this year I will be giving up for the 56th time in a row Brussels sprouts for Lent. It's worked for me every year. It's great, right? But that's not really a temptation for me. I'm not a guy who eats Brussels sprouts all the time. These temptations for Jesus are real for Jesus. He joins in that struggle. Not the struggle to give up liverwurst or head cheese or something like that. It's the wrestling with needs and desires, with things both good and bad that come before us as temptation. I have often wondered what it is that we can learn from Jesus in this morning's gospel. Because Jesus seems to have it all together. He has an answer, quick as you like. And I don't have that. If temptation hits me, I don't have that answer quick as you like. This year, as I was reading and pondering and contemplating this story, I saw things a little different. Because instead of seeing Jesus as confident or almost smug in his response, this year, I see Jesus dealing with these temptations prayerfully. You see, the devil's first temptation is the heavy hitter. Jesus has been without food for 40 days and is famished. All right, if you have fasted for a day or a weekend, maybe you can have a little sympathy. Years ago, I was once part of a 40-hour fast, and I was hungry enough even after that. But Jesus has been fasting 40 days. So this is hunger, real hunger, survival hunger. And then the devil saunters in with temptations of doubt. And then the big one, if you are the Son of God, you can make this stone into bread. The temptation begins with doubts. If you are the Son of God, the devil really wants to define what Son of God will mean for Jesus. Will it truly mean the presence of God's love for all people? Or will it mean someone taken to shortcuts and appetites? This is a real temptation. Jesus is hungry, quite literally starving, but Jesus does have an answer. I have always looked at Jesus' answer as one that had swagger. One does not live by bread alone. Take that, you devil. But if Jesus is really weak and hungry, if this is a real temptation, turn this stone to bread. I now think that Jesus did this prayerfully, not smugly. You see, the quote, one does not live by bread alone, comes from Deuteronomy, where we learn that sometimes hunger helps build character. And I can hear Jesus praying, dear Lord, I know that you are with me, and I know that we do not live by bread alone. Give me the strength I need to resist. There is more to our lives. We are not just ash. I find strength and comfort for the likes of me seeing Jesus answer the devil with prayer. The devil is trying to make everything just about Jesus himself, and Jesus automatically responds by bringing God into it. The second temptation has to do with Jesus' ministry. The world was a mess. Well, the world still is a mess. Wars, rumors of wars, famine, catastrophe, it's all there. And the devil shows Jesus all of the world, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, all of it. And he says, you could do better, and I will give you authority to do better. All you have to do is worship me. Again, the devil is trying to define what Jesus will do. And the devil shows Jesus all the things that Jesus could help with, could change, could make better. It's not that Jesus wouldn't be a great king of the world. It's the condition that spoils it. Would Jesus really be Jesus? Would Jesus really be the Son of God if he worshiped the devil? So once again, Jesus prays. Dear Lord, I know that we are to worship only you and serve only you. Give me the strength to worship and to leave go of my good ideas so that I may do your will. Even though it would be wonderful to have Jesus in charge, it is the will of God that needs to be done. The love of neighbors, the care for the outcast, comfort for the afflicted that fills Jesus' days. I find strength and comfort for the likes of me in seeing Jesus answer the devil with prayer again. And the final temptation tries to get Jesus a huge following. This was not the time of online influencers with millions of followers every day. This was the first century when dozens was a large group. The devil says, I can get you followers. I can get people interested in who you are and what you do. Dive off the temple. God will protect you. People will see that, and they will fall all over themselves to follow someone who can do that. And it's true. Come on, think about it. Jesus' followers would have numbered the hundreds and the thousands. Not the 12. Who would they be following, though? Would it be God's chosen and beloved or a flashy carnival show person? Would those people be willing to follow Jesus to the cross or only until the show stopped or it got a little rough? I mean, that happened to Jesus no matter, but would have been even worse. And so Jesus once again prays, "Dear Lord, since I am the Son of God, give me strength to say, do not put the Lord your God to the test." In that moment, Jesus finally truly stands up to the devil, saying that he, Jesus, will define his ministry, his identity, and choose his followers. After that moment, Jesus begins his ministry and continues to find his strength, his purpose, and his life through prayer. Jesus' confidence comes from God and his purpose as God's chosen one. If Jesus is only confident in his response because of himself, there's not much that I can learn and it's not very far that I can follow. But if Jesus is discovering his strength in scripture and prayer, he is showing me and all of us how we too can respond to the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful selves. We too can find the strength to live if we but live prayerfully. Amen.